Is Auburn the dark horse of the SEC?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Is Auburn the dark horse of the SEC this year? Josh Pate says so. We're going to watch a clip from his show talking about this, and we're going to break down some key quotes that justify his opinion that Auburn could jump up and surprise some people this year. I want to jump right in and play the clip and then go from there, so here it is.
It's Auburn. Auburn's the dark horse in the SEC. So similar vibes to Oklahoma State. I don't think they want me to have said that down there on the plains. I don't mean, even at your worst, that you've been as bad as Oklahoma State. I mean, in terms of having your head coaching spot vacated and what you were looking for, you went the same route as Oklahoma State. You found a really, really high caliber G5 head coach in Alex Golish that was ready for the big time. He brought a lot of his guys with him. USF was number three in total offense last year. And defense at Auburn was already good. It may be better this year than it was last year. They kept DJ Durkin as defensive coordinator. So the thing about Auburn was the offense was horrible. And they're going to go from 99th in passing yards per game last year to what? Under Byron Brown. Or with Byron Brown. Like, how high will they jump? Obviously, they'll be better than 99th. But Byron Brown's scalability, his production's scalability, that's the only thing in question here. Jeremiah Cobb's a bell cow of a running back. They've got five new offensive linemen, but again, like a lot of these stats about returning starters can be deceptive when you have a new head coach coming in. So Auburn does have the minimum baseline talent roster where they could surprise some people this year.
There you go. So I want to start this off by answering this question. What is a dark horse, and is Auburn one of those? And so if you hate on Gemini from Google, then you might as well just skip forward, because I asked Google Gemini, what is a dark horse? And the answer was a team that is not highly ranked or expected to win a championship at the start of the season, but suddenly performs very well and emerges as a serious contender. And then you skip down here, and when it talks about some of the key traits of a dark horse team, unproven potential. They usually have a new coach, a great new coach, or newly transferred players that experts do not fully trust at first. I think on the front end of Auburn being a potential dark horse, I think they fit the description like 100%. Someone that would kind of come up and surprise people, a lot of new to the team from a coach standpoint, from a player standpoint. I think they fit the description as a dark horse to a T. And honestly, Auburn's really thrived in the dark horse role. They've thrived in the sneak up and surprise you role. What's been tough for Auburn is when they actually have expectations. I think last year was a prime example. You finally got your roster in place. It's year three. Pretty talented across the board. I don't think anybody would argue. I mean, you can just look at where the people that left landed and see that Auburn had a very talented roster last year, and then they fell flat on their face. I mean, there was even some, you know, potential Auburn as a back into a playoff spot with 12 teams last year. Like, that was kind of the talk. That was when Auburn had expectations. Auburn's always seemed to thrive when they don't have the spotlight. So you can't have the spotlight you can't have a lesser amount of spotlight, I feel like, than Auburn has this year. And how they've performed over the last 5 years really cements that. So, yeah, they check the box as a dark horse. Now let's look at some of the key quotes. I pulled out some. and he kind of compared Auburn to Oklahoma State, not from a program standpoint, but he just said, you found a really, really high caliber G5 head coach in Alex Golish that was ready for the big time. And some of the key things about Alex Golish, and you track his progress and you look, it's typically quick turnarounds. Quick turnarounds and turnarounds from teams that have struggled. There's no team that struggled worse than South Florida over the 3 years prior than when he took over. And then obviously he turned them into an exciting brand of football to the point where now they're looking at investing in facilities and seeing the potential of what South Florida could be. So that's exactly what Auburn needed. Not only that, but the shot in the arm on offense. Auburn, gosh, you can go back into 2018. I think you can legitimately go back to 2018, and Auburn has had a defense. You go back further than that. They were good on offense in 2017, but you can go back further than that to find Auburn having defenses that are good enough to keep Auburn in games, good enough to win games with just average offense. And they've just been unable to do that. They've just been totally snake bit when it comes to just having average offense. So you bring in a guy that's had the number one offense in the SEC, not only the SEC, but the country in the SEC, playing against SEC defenses. He's done that. And then last year he had the number three overall offense. Even with Hugh Freeze's successes, I don't think he ever really had outputs close to those type numbers. Yeah, we're going to have to question whether it'll translate. We're going to have the questions on, will that work in the SEC? You know, you kind of do have at least a point of reference of it working in the SEC. But yeah, that was a few years back. Is the offensive line good enough? There's a lot of questions there. But I like that other people are noticing Alex Golish is a high caliber, lower level coach, but he was ready to make this big step. I want to go to a quote that he said, and I don't have it, but along kind of those lines is Byron Brown's scalability. He mentioned that Auburn was 99th. In pass offense last year. It's hard to imagine at worst they'll be 98th. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to imagine there's not going to be at least some jump in passing offense. Offense as a whole, but he stuck on passing offense there under Byron Brown. But the question was, is his scalability. Is what he did at South Florida scalable from the standpoint of how big can it actually be in the SEC? You know, anytime you have a business or a product or something that you have success with on a small level, you're always like, okay, how can I scale this and make it a really big operation? That's going to be the question with Byron Brown. Yeah, he dump trucked all over a lot of those smaller level schools. He did have some success even when playing some of the SEC schools. I always point to the Florida game from last year where when you look at combined passing and rushing yards, he had more production than every SEC quarterback and Carson Beck that played against Florida last year, and he did it on the road. So is that enough to say that it's scalable from the standpoint of it could be close to the same type levels that you would see against better competition? How close he can get to last year's production to me is how far this team will go, how explosive this offense will be. I think it's that simple. If he can be anywhere near 3,000 yards passing and anywhere near 1,000 yards rushing, Auburn's going to be pretty dang good. Auburn's going to be pretty dang good. And like Josh Pate says, probably sneak up and surprise some folks. He mentioned defense. I'm going to get to defense here in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you have an Auburn-owned business or you're a fan, alumni, doesn't matter, and you have a business, you can list it for less than a dollar a day. And if you're an Auburn fan listening and you're in a buying process, no matter what industry it is, you need to start at buyauburn.com. Do business with Auburn people, and you can do it with Auburn people everywhere by using buyauburn.com. And then if you need a good realtor in the Auburn, Opelika area, hit me up. It's Kyle Rush at kw.com with Keller Williams. I've got four great townhome investment listings. Could also be like a first-time home purchase. Got proven short-term rental revenue. And then we have all other kinds of things as well. So hit me up. It's Kyle Rush at kw.com. We'll be back right after this. He talked about defense as well, and this was one of his quotes. Defense at Auburn was already good. It may be better this year than it was last year. As far as dark horses go, you got to have a good defense, period. And I know I mentioned this earlier, and I know a lot of people, when they talk about really any side of the ball or success, they like to go to statistics. And, you know, for the most part, you could probably get a good idea of how good a side of the ball was by just going and looking at statistics. But statistics don't always tell the whole story. And there are a lot of Auburn defenses over the last several years that have been really salty. They've been really good at getting stops, have been really good at limiting scoring, and they just have gotten no help on the other side of the ball. I loved last year's defense. I don't care what anybody says. Sure, we can talk about the Vanderbilt game when everything kind of came crashing down and you had an interim coach and all that good stuff. What DJ Durkin's done at Auburn to me has been spectacular, from the recruiting, from the development, from the evaluations, homegrown guys that you're bringing in from high school and then having a lot of success with, and then they've nailed a lot of their key additions in the portal, and they're continuing to recruit really well. Just look at the defensive line that you got lined up so far as commits this year already. Having a chance to be better this year, I think, is an interesting one. And it just really depends on what criteria you're going to be looking at to judge. Are they better than last year's defense? Because there could be similar issues that plagued last year's defense. Hold on, let me back up. There could be some similar scenarios that hindered last year's defense statistically to this year, but the scenarios, I think, could be different, but both offensive related. I said a lot to say this. Last year, time of possession, I feel like, killed Auburn's defense deep into the game, deep into the season. Hey, maybe even psychologically. It's tough, man. It's tough, man, to go out there and get the ball back for your offense over and over and over and over again and just feel like there is no hope whatsoever of that offense scoring and protecting you, keeping the ball, giving you time to rest. The offense was just so bad. Now, this year, it could be a different scenario where, in theory, hopefully, the offense is better, but they're going to be going so fast, the time of possession is still going to be lower. Okay, so we're going to be scoring faster, in theory, or, I mean, let's just be honest, if you have a bad drive, it could be really quick, and then the defense is back on the field. So I don't think from an aspect of time of possession, anything's going to change that much. Just hopefully your short possessions are just because you scored and not because you're just going three and out and giving the ball back to the defense to go try to save you. So statistically, it's hard to kind of maybe point to some spots where you think this defense will be better. But when you give a defense hope, that's when they're dangerous, and that's when they can go get the ball. And also, we don't really know exactly what the game plan for the defense was from the top. Like, what style of defense did Hugh Freeze really want Durkin to run? Was it a bend, don't break? Was it this? Like, hey, just try your best to hold them to a field goal, and then we'll go score. Whereas Alex Golish, it's more of, hey, let's go attack, and we need more possessions. So let's go attack. Let's go get the ball. Let's go create turnovers. Let's go take some chances. So that could yield more turnovers. That could yield maybe even more sacks. It also could yield more big plays. But the goal being, let's just get the ball back to the offense because we're going to go score. We need as many possessions as possible. So could the defense be better? In spots, yes. But if you're a box score guy and you're just looking at statistics, it's hard. I think it'll be about the same, but maybe the resulting scenarios will be different. Yeah, I like that. I don't know if they're going to be better statistically, but I think they could be better, a better fit, and better as a unit, as a team. Jeremiah Cobb is a bell cow running back, was one of the positives that he had. And I think that's important because I think if you really went and looked at some of the more successful teams, they're going to have a guy that they can depend on to just turn around and hand the ball off and go make it happen. And Cobb almost went for 1,000 yards last year with almost no help in sight. Is almost all him. Even with a running threat as a quarterback, you still couldn't throw the ball, so everybody's up on the line of scrimmage. Boy, oh boy, if you could give him some space, what could you see? If there could just be a somewhat of a pass threat, somewhat of a deep threat, how much better could Jeremiah Cobb be? A bell cow running back, hopefully a bell cow quarterback too. And, you know, more tempo and a little bit better scheme, who knows? The sky's really the limit with him. I think he could be one of the surprise players in college football. I really do. He's right on the precipice of exploding. I think Jeremiah Cobb could easily be one of the surprise players in college football. Auburn does have the minimum baseline talent roster where they could surprise some people this year. What does that mean when you hear a quote like that? To me, what that says is Auburn's about right at the level to where they have a roster good enough to maybe knock off some of the top teams, but you can't go any lower. Like, if somebody gets hurt, if somebody gets injured or whatever, they're right there at that minimum threshold to where if everything goes right, if they are who we think they could be, they're at the minimum talent level where I think they could go and surprise some people. They could maybe, if they get hot, they could maybe go into Knoxville and knock off a Tennessee. Or, hey, Alabama at the end of the year, if they're somewhere around 8 or 9 wins and, you know, Alabama is struggling or hasn't solved their issue at quarterback by the time of the end of the season, like that could maybe even be one where they go in and have an upset. I think that's a perfect description of this roster. Now, a lot of it depends on the offensive line, which he said. He mentioned the offensive line. But good coaching, good scheme can you can't all the way hide situationally poor offensive line. Like when it gets to be third and, you know, six and beyond, it's really hard to disguise or to hide poor pass protection. You can only scheme or play call around that so many times to where they'll make adjustments. Like you can only hit them with a screen so many times. Or they just camp out right there at the sticks and make you have to protect that fraction of a second longer and hit one a little bit deeper down the field. But as a whole, you can game plan around an offensive line. Good coaching is not something – good coaching is not something that you should overlook when it comes to putting an offensive line together to have success. Like, good coaching can go a long way. That's what I'm trying to say. And Auburn hasn't had that, particularly on the offensive line, in quite some time. So – Is Hoodie the guy? Is this scheme it? Is this one where you can kind of plug a player in and, you know, work on some technique here or there and develop something that can be special? Good coaching can go a long way. And again, Auburn hasn't had that, and I'm curious to see if you've answered those questions. A lot of fun stuff to talk about. A lot of fun points in there. Is there anything in particular in there you disagreed with? Anything in there that I left out that probably should have mentioned? To me, the key point to me is, how does Auburn will go as far as Byron Brown's scalability in the SEC, I think. I think that's a fair statement. Defense is going to be fine. They're going to be good enough. How far can Auburn go? How far can Byron Brown take this offense? Can't be worse, right? It can't be worse. Guys, thank y'all for listening. Don't forget, we're going to have a Barncast Live on Thursday. Sorry we didn't do the World Cup last night, and I'm kind of glad we didn't, because it was clearly a travesty. Maybe somebody will say that's the reason why, because we didn't do a Barncast. But I would have offered no. I would have offered nothing. It would have just been however many hours of silliness. And maybe that's all we should – maybe that's all we needed. But we're going to have one Thursday night and every Sunday and Thursday night for the rest of the summer. So make sure you're there. Subscribe to the YouTube Premium so you can get all of the bonus stuff behind the paywall. And, guys, we're going to be back again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.